Today's program is brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit culinarycenter.com.
I'm Erica Wides, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, welcome to We Dig Plants on Heritage Radio Network. We are Groundworks, Inc. I'm Alice Marcus Krieg.
And I'm Carmen DeVito.
And we design, install, and maintain gardens in and around New York City. So it has been a really long, incredible summer here in New York City, huh?
Yes, it has. It's been hot.
It's been hot and long. And We Dig Plants.
And dry.
So bringing the culture to culture, as is our motto, we had a really great highlight this summer. Every year we take the day off and we go and we do a garden tour or we go to a botanical garden. We take our gardeners and we just like get out and have a bigger picture of what it is we do all day. So this year we stayed local and we went to the Frida Kahlo exhibit at the New York Botanic Garden and it was amazing.
Yeah, so you think you know Frida Kahlo until you go.
Until you go, right.
Yeah, you know, as a fan, I thought and admirer of her, I thought I understood and I got such a different perspective.
Yeah, you know? And so today we're going to talk about that exhibit. Carmen, can you introduce our guest?
Yes, so today we have Claudia Mora. She is the bilingual interpretive specialist at the New York Botanical Garden, where she researches and writes content for the Frida exhibition. She graduated from the Universidad del Valle. Did I get that right?
Yes, that's right.
My Spanish isn't very good. With a bachelor degree in literature in 2010. After graduation, she lived in Minnesota for a year, where she participated in a cultural exchange program teaching Latin American culture to middle and high school students. She received an MFA in creative writing in Spanish from NYU, my alma mater.
Oh, great.
With a focus in translation. In 2012, Claudia Mora had the opportunity to translate some of Pulitzer Award winner Tracy K. Smith's poems into Spanish and offered a reading at the Penn World Voices Festival of International Literature here in New York City. Claudia, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So a little bit about the exhibit, just like to set the tone.
Yes.
What's so interesting about this exhibit is that it's not just her plants. It's really about her involvement with plants and the identity that she as a person assumes from the plants, right?
Yeah. That's why the exhibit is Art, Garden, Life. I thought that was such a great title, Claudia.
Exactly.
You know, it encompasses all the aspects.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so for the exhibit at the Botanic Garden, they kind of replicate her home in Mexico City, Casa Azul, and they replicate parts of her house and the specific plantings that she loved and that she painted. And it gives us such incredible insight into her life from the combination of plants, her life with Diego, and several of her paintings are included. And it's immersive. The exhibit is dance. It's film, it's food.
Oh, the
it's
food!
Music.
The food is incredible.
Yeah, so
we'll talk about that.
It's just like this wonderful, wonderful experience. So, Claudia, you're from Colombia.
Yes, that's correct.
So how did you, you're a linguist, right? You do translation. But how did you get to the botanical garden? Like, that's a really interesting jump.
Yes, I found out about the position through a job search engine.
Uh-huh.
I was looking for a job that combined translation, art, and I've never imagined myself working at a botanical garden.
Uh-huh.
So when I found out about it, I was thrilled.
Yeah.
My husband is Mexican.
Okay.
So I have been to Mexico City a couple of times. I have been to the Casa Azul a couple of times prior to this job. So I knew what was everything about before starting. So
yeah.
When I went to the interviews, I knew everything about the Casa Azul. I knew everything about the plants.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, this is the perfect job for me.
You did your research.
I did my research. I brought pictures. I brought books. And I loved it. And when they offered me the job, I was just thrilled. Actually, this job was funded thanks to the National Endowment for the Humanities.
Uh-huh.
It's a fund-granted position.
Yeah.
And I started working there November last year.
Okay.
And it's been quite a ride. It's been so, so exciting and interesting to get the opportunity to work with these amazing people at the garden.
And really, what this job is doing is converting you into a plant person.
Yeah. Definitely. It's amazing how I can recognize plants now.
Yeah.
I can call them by their scientific name.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know anything about that before this job.
Uh-huh.
And when you start working at the garden, you get to experience all this amazing stuff. And then you find yourself calling fruits, oh, yeah, that is a member of the cucurbit family. And that plant, you know, and it's amazing. It's amazing. I'm so excited to work there.
And it sounds like it was an amazing team of people there with, from many different disciplines.
Yes, and that's
coming together.
Correct. And that's what makes this exhibition so interesting. It's a multidisciplinary approach. All our team is conformed by scientists, botanists, writers.
Uh-huh.
A team from the NYBG had the chance to travel to the Casa Azul. They had access to their archival photographs, and that gave us all the necessary tools to create her garden through all these photographs of Frida being in her garden, surrounded by her pets and by her plants, and how this house was not only her house, but a refuge and a creative space for her and Diego Rivera.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
What a fantastic job. It really is a dream come true. Like,
yeah,
to come from one discipline, you think you understand it, you think you know it, and then all of a sudden you're thrust into a whole different world of academic prowess. You know, it's really interesting.
I want to ask you, Claudia, what surprised you about Frida Kahlo in your research and in preparing for this exhibit? What were you surprised to find out?
Her amazing connection to the natural world. I think that relation has never been explored,
mm-hmm,
ever. There's multiple books about her pain and about how sad her life was, and no one ever says, oh, look at her still lives. Let's stop and see this beautiful painting, the tropical plants, and she's not this sad person that suffers, but she's this happy, livable person. And I think that focus and that approach is unique. And this exhibition explores that strong connection to the natural world, and that makes us really different.
Well, let's also talk about what I didn't realize is that she is of German and Mexican ancestry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And hence her name, Frida Kahlo. I never really thought much about it. Like you, I just had this idea of this like sad, lonely,
damaged
woman who drew these very macabre, scary kind of paintings.
Mm-hmm.
But the exhibit really highlights the plants and her understanding of them. So you're right. You understand a much more complex, and she really was a happy person, and she surrounded herself
with beauty,
with plants and beauty, and the identity of plants became very specific.
Correct.
And hence her paintings and her understanding. So let's start with the famous painting,
yes,
of Luther Burbank,
yeah,
and Frida Kahlo. Carmen, can you describe a little bit about who Luther Burbank was, just to give a little history?
Sure. I mean, Luther was, I think he's kind of like the father of plant breeding. Mm-hmm. That's how I see him. And he is kind of responsible for so many
things that we eat today.
Things that we eat, so many varieties of things that we eat. He was in California, I believe, in the late 19th century into the early 20th century. And he really was kind of a self-taught kind of guy. That's my understanding. And he just started experimenting with plants and cross-pollination and breeding and came up. He really is responsible for helping California become sort of the fruit basket of the nation.
Right. So crossbreeding.
Yes.
And intersection. So Here we have this German-Mexican woman. So tell us, Claudia, some of the things you learned about Frida.
She, as you mentioned, she was Mexican-German. She was always interested in duality and hybridization. And that's why Luther Burbank was such an important character for her. Even though she never met him, she used to portray family and friends. So this portrait was very unique and different because of that. There's a really interesting story. She met with the widow, with Luther Burbank's widow. She traveled with Diego Rivera to California, and they have this photograph posing right next to a cedar Lebanon tree where Burbank is buried. And she writes a beautiful postcard to her mom that I will love to read the message because it's beautiful, I think.
Yeah.
And she tells her mom about her trip there. And she says, she starts as a dear mamacita, dear mommy. Here we are in front of the tree where Burbank is buried. A wise local man who grew wonderful fruits and flowers using thousands of crabs. His house, which is very pleasant, is 2 hours away from San Francisco in a small city called Santa Rosa. Signs your Friducha. She used to call her that. So she was very excited to see all Burbank's work. In Portrait of Luther Burbank in the garden, we have not only the painting, but we have the sketch. So it's amazing to see how different they are, how she portrays in the sketch. There are some different elements in the finished painting. You see two different orange trees, a citrus tree, an orange tree, and Luther Burbank totally being one with nature. He's like sprouting from this tree trunk, and he's holding this, what they seem, philodendron leaves, which were very important to Aztecs. So you can make all these interesting connections between her heritage and her interests and her duality.
That's what I love about the show, is that it I feel like art historians and academics, depending on what discipline they're in, they just pigeonhole themselves into one understanding. But this exhibit just blows the door wide open into interpretation. And I just love that NYBG has done that. And the book that you all wrote is just fantastic.
Yeah, we had to get it.
It's such a different viewpoint and understanding into Frida's life.
And I completely see the paintings differently now. It's helped
absolutely
me. When I first started admiring her many, many years ago, when I was
a gothic girl,
in
NYU.
Yeah. Honestly, you know, she really came to the fore like in the 80s, and there was the whole like Madonna, you know, wanted to portray her in the film and all this stuff. I focused on her image in the paintings.
Yeah.
And this exhibit has helped me see it in a much broader way, the detail, the level of detail. No, it isn't botanical art per se, but, you know, she elevates all of
It's interpretation, which is
it's incredible. It's better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, if you see her photographs, she used to wear this beautiful bougainvillea crowns. And there's always a natural element, even to photographs or paintings. There's always something. And that's what our visitors, when they go to the garden, to Frida's garden, and then they go to the gallery, they make those connections.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, elephant ear plants. The this self-portraits with thorn necklace and hummingbird, which has lots of elephant ear plants. So they can make those, they can establish those bridges, and that's amazing.
I think of her actually now with a little more childlike delight, as opposed to the gothic, like, dark, sad,
like you said,
tragic.
Oh, she seems happier.
Yeah.
She seems more connected to her world rather than this sort of, like, isolated, dark, depressed figure.
Ghostly,
you know?
You
know, macabre, like you said, macabre figure. Now I see her more in a happier, more joyful kind of
And also as an intellect, because she's really visually articulating what the plants mean to her. And I find that, like, the most interesting part is that it's not just this image anymore. There's really a relationship that is established.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
It, and also, if you go through her books in her bookshelves, you can see a lot of books about nature. We like to see her as a collector. She was a collector of plants. She was a collector of pets. She loved to collect small things and beautiful things. One of the drawings we have at the garden is called Small Life. Do you remember that one? It's a drawing, and she depicts, like, twigs and plants and spiders. And we like to think that she painted that during one of her trips with her father to the Rio Churubusco, which is a river near to the Casa Azul. So she was definitely connected to nature, and she was a collector, as I said. We love to see her as a collector.
So one of the big kind of, I think everybody kind of knows, even if you don't know much about Frida, you know about the cactus wall that is in front of her house. Can you talk a little bit? Because that was replicated in your show at NYBG. So can you talk about that a little?
Yes. In 1931, Diego Rivera and Kahlo asked Juan O'Gorman, a very famous Mexican architect, to design a different house in San Angel, which is a neighborhood in Mexico City. So this cactus wall is not located in Coyoacán, Casa Azul. It's at San Angel. And when the NYBG team traveled to the Casa Azul, and then they visited Museo Casa Estudio, which is in San Angel, and they saw this cactus wall, they were like, wait, we have to do this, even though it doesn't belong to Frida's garden.
Right.
This cactus wall are very famous in rural areas in Mexico. They convey a lot of, they have an indigenous precedent. And when they built this wall in 1931 in this neighborhood, people were shocked. They were like, what is this doing here? This doesn't belong here. And that is another signal of how proud Rivera and Kahlo were of their heritage and their Mexicanidad or Mexicanity. This cactus wall is quite a statement.
It is quite a statement. And also we know,
I think it's going to be replicated.
I think a lot.
What usually happens is
I think 2 years, Garden Design Magazine, it's going to be on the front cover.
It's great. Yeah.
And and certainly I think it's a good idea, because besides being indigenous, it's practical. It's drought tolerant.
Keeps people away.
It keeps undesirables away.
Yes.
I did want to mention that one of the takeaways that I got from the book and from the exhibit is originally, so that people know, the house originally belonged to Frida's father.
Correct.
Right? Father and mother.
Yes.
And then my understanding is that Diego kind of bought the house for them, paid off the mortgage, right, and sort of, you know, made it more comfortable. And her father was a photographer.
Yes.
Right.
So she came from an arts kind of background.
And what was interesting to me was he had put in the courtyard more traditional sort of, I'm going to say, European plants, you know, the citrus and other things that he didn't make. They really made it. Diego and Frida really made the Casa Azul completely remade it when they kind of started living there, right?
Correct. Yes. And it's amazing how the garden has changed. If you see the garden through the archival photographs and you go to the garden now, it's a totally different garden. During their lifetime, the garden was surrounded by cacti, agave, some tropical plants,
right,
which now they're not there anymore because there are really huge trees that created these shades.
Ah, right.
So their plants are shade tolerant now.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that definitely was another signal or marker of their Mexican heritage and the pyramid that we have.
Yes. Yeah. That's an important... Let's talk about that.
The pyramid at the Casa Azul, the Museo Frida Kahlo, was built by under Kahlo's suggestion, actually, to display Diego Rivera's huge collection of pre-Hispanic artifacts. Mm-hmm. He was a fan of pre-Hispanic objects. There's actually another museum called Museo Anahuacalli, where he has one of the biggest collections of pre-Hispanic artifacts. It's amazing. So we recreated this pyramid. It's almost the same size. And, of course, we couldn't display pre-Hispanic artifacts for obvious reasons. But we survived.
I don't know. It's NYBG. They have a good endowment.
And we surrounded the pyramid by this agave and cacti and succulents and many flowers also that are very important to Mexican traditions, such as Day of the Dead, mm-hmm. such as marigolds or coxcomb mm-hmm. or cresta de gallo. So we recreated this pyramid with all the plants that were there during their lifetime.
Okay.
So the showcase, the garden shows a lot of plants that were during their lifetime and also plants that are now mm-hmm. and plants that are in their painting. So it's like a mix of plants and things. So,
yeah.
And it is very immersive. And there's even a part that I really love that recreated a small part of her studio.
Mm-hmm.
It has pigments, paints, and sort of little objects that she might have, you know, similar kinds of objects that she might have had around to inspire her.
Yeah.
Natural objects, found objects.
How long was the kind of conception and design of this exhibit?
Thinking, 5 years.
Okay.
The idea.
Uh-huh.
And then putting everything together,
uh-huh.
applying for a grant.
Uh-huh.
It takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But the installation?
Yeah.
3 weeks?
Yeah.
It was really fast.
That
we
is
have
fast.
Shows.
Yeah.
We have shows going on all the time.
Yeah.
So people at the garden are always working day and night, trying to get everything ready on time.
Yeah.
We'll say 5 years in the making and 3 years installing everything.
And who else besides the NEH or NEA, who else is the funder of the show?
We have different donors,
uh-huh.
Mexico City Tourism Board,
uh-huh.
Mexico's Cultural Institute of New York. They uh-huh. helped us a lot too. Aeroméxico.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
We have many people that have chipped in and helped uh-huh. us make this beautiful exhibition.
Yeah. So we have to take a break.
Yes.
When we get back, we're going to talk more with Claudia about some other kind of satellite things that are going on in addition
events.
To the exhibit, some events that kind of reference Frida and her life.
So stay tuned.
Thank you. Pulling your face, I dip and I dive in an ocean of love. So blue in your eyes, washing my heart in you. Like a mushroom, an atomic cloud, a burning circle of life. No one seems to notice. Yeah, you fast cars. Yeah, you bright lights. Yeah, you wild hearts. Yeah. Changing speeds, the tires cry. Now I see why you make me ride an open road in the frenzy night.
The International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
Hi, welcome back to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network. Today we're talking about Frida Kahlo and the Art Garden Life exhibit at the New York Botanic Garden with interpreter and curator Claudia Mara. Claudia. So let's talk about the special events. This show started in May, I think.
May 16th.
Yeah, and yes. It's going into the end of October. So let's talk about some of the celebrations and some of the sort of satellite activities that are happening around the garden.
We have many fun events coming up. The exhibition, since we opened, we broke all records, visitation records.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
It's been amazing, and not only to see the garden filled with people, but also a lot of Spanish-speaking visitors.
Yeah. Yes.
This exhibition is fully bilingual. Uh-huh. It's the first bilingual exhibition that the New York Botanical Garden does. So it has definitely opened a whole new...
They've set the bar so high for themselves and for other institutions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's fantastic.
So this exhibition is not only celebrating Frida, but also all things Mexican.
Right.
So we have different events throughout the garden. We have a display of the two Fridas on the fourth floor of the Library Museum.
Uh-huh.
That art piece was commissioned by a Mexican artist called Humberto Espíndola. He works at the Museo Frida Kahlo, actually, as a gardener. He volunteers there.
Oh, that's amazing.
I love that, yeah.
And he's an artist, too. And he makes this amazing papier-mâché installations. Uh-huh. He's very well-known in Mexico City. He actually lives near the Frida Kahlo Museum. So he made this beautiful... statues made of bamboo, a kind of reed that grows abundantly in the Valley of Mexico. And we don't have the painting, the two Fridas, but we have this beautiful, huge two Fridas made of bamboo and this beautiful papier-mâché dresses on the fourth floor. We have Mexico City of Frida and Diego on the first floor. It's a virtual panel information about all the sites and places that were important in Frida's and Diego's life.
Uh-huh. That was fascinating, actually.
Yes.
Because it was a really good kind of time travel
of
what Mexico City was like at that age.
And, it was great to go through the exhibit and then at the end come around and it kind of consolidated the information a little bit.
And the history of Mexico City, which was so great.
And so, we wanted to give context to our visitors and to geographically, say, okay, this is the Museo Frida Kahlo, and this is the Museo Casa Studio, and this is where everything happens.
And this is politically what was going on.
Exactly.
And because you can't ignore the politics in Mexico.
Well, Frida didn't.
No. And Diego certainly didn't.
Yes. We have a garden-wide exhibition.
Yes.
We have a lot of events such as dance, Mexican food.
Oh, my God. Can I interrupt for a second and say the tacos?
The taco
that
truck.
That we had at the taco truck were incredible.
It was so fantastic.
It was incredible food. It was very nice like Alice said, it was completely immersive. So even what you ate.
Well, and also what I loved is, NYBG has these trams because the grounds are very large and extensive. Yeah. But I loved seeing people were in costume. We're in Frida costume.
Yes.
Did you realize that?
No,
there were several people that had head dresses on, or they had the dress, and they were just walking around, or they were riding on the tram, and I was fascinated. I probably saw about 6 or 7 people.
No, I didn't notice
little
that.
Girls were dressed.
With flower
with
crowns.
With flowers. It was
It
was so great. And this was just a random, Thursday afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, nothing. It wasn't like a Saturday and there was an event. These are just... this was cult Frida,
Yes, yeah.
Frida
cult.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She does have a cult following.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And so some of the other things.
We have a mariachi, Flor de Toluache, which is all female Mexican mariachi band. They're
great.
Amazing. We have a lot of bands coming on. We have Rana Santa Cruz, which is Irish folk Mexican fusion.
Really?
We have Radio Jarocho. We have a lot of different bands playing during the weekends.
Irish Mexican fusion. Wow.
Yeah, it's
that's
pretty
a
good.
Food comp. I think musically that sounds interesting.
No,
but
food,
culinary, no.
Well, the Irish have the worst food ever.
We have Viva Mexico, an Independence Day celebration happening the weekend of September 19th and 20th.
Oh, that's this coming weekend.
Yeah.
Yes. And Dia de los Muertos in Mexico is celebrated November 1st and November 2nd. But since November 1st is our last day, we are celebrating Day of the Dead October 24th, 25th, and October 31st. We're making an altar. Beautiful in the conservatory. We're inviting all our visitors to come and see the exhibition before it closes.
Yeah.
That's going to be a packed weekend.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
going to be.
And the cantina. As soon as you walk into the garden, there's the cantina.
Yes. Yeah. We have prickly pear margaritas.
Yeah.
And beers.
Cerveza.
Yeah.
It was so nice. And the music. And we sat there and just had a beer and... It was just such a lovely, lovely.
Yeah, it was a great
vacation day. Yeah. It was a big vacation day. Like
and
I
the poetry,
really,
the poetry. Tell us briefly about that, because that also is kind of threads through the entire garden, right?
Yes, this we do that with nearly every exhibition.
Oh.
Co-partnered with the Poetry Society of America. We, with the Frida Kahlo exhibition, we selected Octavio Paz, Nobel Prize winner.
Yes.
And we selected poems that were, that have this interest in nature. So we have nearly 16 poems in Spanish and English.
Uh-huh.
So people can walk along the garden and see all these beautiful, huge poems located among our collections.
Uh-huh.
And that's part of the exhibition. Yes.
Yeah, that was nice to be able to pause and, you know, to read those poems. And did you have to do the translating for them?
No.
No, that was already been done.
Yeah, that had already been done by amazing translators.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yes, Elizabeth Bishop being one of them.
Ah.
So, yes.
Did you work much on the catalog, the text, the book that accompanies?
My work for the catalog was to find all the licensing and the rights for every image.
Uh-huh.
Frida is expensive.
Yeah.
All images, of course, are copyrighted.
Right.
To find all the necessary rights to publish them and print them, we had to go through different sources.
How many phone calls did you make to Mexico City?
Thousands. Yeah. Thousands, yes. Not only for the catalog, but for the exhibition overall. We have photographs by Nicolas Morai.
Yeah.
So we had to talk with his daughter. And for every image, there's someone behind. So it was quite a ride.
But people, were they receptive to this idea? Was it like welcomed in the Frida sort of community to share her in this way, share her work?
Definitely. Actually, Adriana Zavala, which is our curator, when she was first approached, they told her, well, it's an exhibition about Frida. And she was like, oh, Frida, you know, like, but then they were like, this is a unique approach. It's about her connection to nature. It's totally different. We're not talking about her through the sad lens. We're talking about her through the horticultural lens. And so she was like, oh, I'm on then.
Okay.
She's amazing. She works at Tufts University. She teaches there. And when she heard about this, she was like, yeah, I want to do this. This is different. This is unique.
Yeah.
And this is the first exhibition in 10 years about Frida in New York.
Right.
And also the first exhibition to talk about her keen interest and keen appreciation of the beauty of the natural world. So.
Oh. All right, I want to wrap up our show with one visual image of a painting that we saw.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of the most symbolic paintings. It's the Flower of Life image,
mm-hmm.
which is really a hybridization of her own making, of her heritage, German and Mexican. The mandrake is depicted as the taproot for the lower half of her body, and an angel trumpet for the upper half of her body, which represents her hallucinogenic and medicinal plant and kind of interest in narcotics and her sickness and her ailments. I think that flower of life image to me and the botanicals that were depicted were so strong. And then you can talk forever about the hybridization images and the genetics.
Mm-hmm. At every level.
At every level. Yeah. And it really was so... all right, one more question. If you're looking at this exhibit from a botanical perspective, how difficult was it to determine which paintings you wanted to bring? Do you have any insight into that?
Finding Frida's paintings is also hard.
Yeah, collectors do not want to let go of them.
No, her artwork is considered patrimony.
Uh-huh.
So it's very hard to take it away from Mexico. Like, it's really, really, there's a lot of permissions involved and a lot of money involved, insurance involved. So this, for the curator, it was really a hard process to find all this, the paintings we wanted. So we are very lucky to have 14 paintings on display.
That is a lot.
Yeah. And 4 drawings that are very unique and rare.
Uh-huh.
And unusual.
Right.
So,
yeah, the miscarriage drawing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It haunts me. It is so unbelievable.
So many details, so many botanical details.
Yeah.
And actually, now that you ask that, one of the most interesting things that I had the chance to see while we were working on this prior, we got together with scientists and botanists at the garden, and they were reviewing every painting with a magnifying glass and trying to identify every plant and every element.
Uh-huh.
And it was just amazing to see them, how they recognize all these different elements. And
the art historians are rolling in their graves.
It was a really interesting
thing. Well, that's a very different process. You know?
Yeah.
Yes. And I think... I know that New York Botanic had done an exhibit, I think it was Monet, a couple of years ago, Monet's Garden, right? Which also had a very broad appeal, you know? And Frida, to me, has a very different kind of appeal. I mean, who doesn't like Monet,
right? Right.
It's water lilies.
It's the most vanilla.
It's like, you know, pretty much anyone, there's nothing disturbing. Or interesting, or, you know, really, I mean, it's interesting.
There's no controversy.
But there's no controversy.
Right.
But to put Frida on, to me, like Alice said, it's raised the bar for, I think, botanical gardens and cultural institutions as well, you know, to think in a totally different way about how, about your identity as an institution, what you should be talking about.
Identity.
You know?
I mean, identity. And, it's again, it's like the perfect.
And Frida's the poster child for that, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
really
who
is,
better?
It really is like so symbolic and so important of a show. So we really encourage people to go see it. When does it close?
November 1st is our last day.
Okay.
So come. Yeah. We have amazing things going on. We have a lot of dance and Mexican food and poetry and Frida paintings and Frida's plants. And
Frida
colors, Mexicanity, everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the warmth, the
you'll
palette.
Be transported. You will forget that you're in the Bronx. You'll forget that you're in New York City.
Yes.
And especially in the fall, and you know, we went in the summer when it was like hot, and so you kind of you felt in the environment. But especially nice to be in the conservatory in October when it starts getting cold, and to see all that brilliance, you know, all that color, all that gorgeousness.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Claudia, for joining us. Thank you for all your work bringing Mexican culture to New York, and it's lovely. And what's next for you?
Well, my position goes through June next year. So I'm starting to look for things. I definitely want to keep working on cultural institutions, translating. And I wish, I would love to stay at the garden. I love the garden.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see what
you've become
brings.
A bona fide plant nut.
Now I want to work there every day in my life.
Well, thank you again.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network. We're back. The season has started again. We're going to have a show every week at 2 p.m. You can listen live on Heritage Radio, or you can listen on iTunes anytime.
And Stitcher.
And Stitcher.
So thanks for listening. We'll see you in the garden.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.